I've been in a series of sermons that I've been looking at called The Untouchables. And in one of those messages in particular, I'd thought in the back of my mind, wasn't a prayer and it's not being super spiritual, but I thought, Lord, that particular message, if you allow me to preach that, share that, or teach on that, I would love to do that on a prayer meeting night. It's not because you're more special than anyone else that attends the church, but you've got to understand when you come to the Wednesday night crowd, you do get to the crowd that is the backbone of any church. Now, there's a lot of folks that want to be here tonight that can't be. But on Sunday, we know as well that there's usually a lot more unsaved people. And even though there may be lost here tonight, there would be a higher percentage of people that would have absolutely no idea what I'm speaking about if I shared this on a Sunday. The reason why? It's untouchable. People don't like to touch it. They don't like to talk about it. When they do hear something about it, usually it's by a television evangelist that makes just two or three statements about it, or a minister on TV raising money, or a share-a-thon, and that's about all they ever hear on the subject that I'm dealing with tonight. But do not close your mind out. If you are saved tonight, don't close your ears and keep your heart open. Because what I'm about to share with you is probably going to be needed more by this generation than any generation that's ever lived. Because I believe this is the generation that very well could be alive on this earth when Jesus comes again. But we need to understand when Christ comes, the spirit of iniquity will already begin to abound. It'll prepare the way for an antichrist to come, if I read Scripture correctly and interpret it correctly. And therefore, the hearts of people that are in sin will grow more wicked. And the world, when the Bible talks about the world, there's different words for world. When He uses the word world, sometimes He's talking about merely the people that occupy earth. Sometimes He's referring to the world systems that control this earth, the political systems, the economic system. Then there's the planet itself that's referred to as the world. But the Lord teaches us that the world system will grow worse as it prepares the way for wickedness and evilness. Therefore, with the onslaught of evilness, there needs to be greater understanding to the authority that we as believers have in the end times. And the reason that I say it's untouchable, I would venture to say you could count on the fingers of one hand if you have heard any sermons in depth dealing with kingdom authority. See, it already scares some of you. You are saved and have authority sometimes that you don't even realize. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us certain authority through His might and through His power that we do not possess by ourselves. When I stand and speak the Word of God, if I speak it as merely words on the page of my Bible, it has no impact on lives. But if I teach or preach the Word of God, knowing that it is seasoned and endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's seal of authority on it, that changes everything. Let's go to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 17. I'll try to be brief, but I'll not be tonight. Luke 10, 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. Over all the power of the enemy. each of us have three basic enemies. There is the external enemy, the world system. You say, what? Preacher, why is the world an enemy to us? The world has always been an enemy to the gospel and has always been an enemy to the Lord, always been an enemy to Jesus Christ and as followers of Christ. The world is an enemy to us as well. That's why Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In that text, he's not talking about the people. He's not telling you don't love people. The word world there means the present system, the age of evilness, the wickedness that's ruled by Satan himself, principalities and powers, the darkness that is there, that is against God and against His church. That's the external foe. People all the time like to harp on separation of church and state. I think it's time we start preaching separation of church and the world. There is the internal enemy, that is your flesh. I'll not spend much time on this because I dealt with it in a couple services ago. For those of you that were here, you remember when I dealt with that, I talked about the reason you sin is not because the world makes you sin. No one can make you sin. The reason that you sin, if the devil was dead tomorrow, people would still sin. Because the battle is with the flesh. You battle your flesh. It is the flesh that causes men and women to be drawn aside and enticed by their own lust and deceived. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. But we know the source of sin comes not only from the pressures of the world, but the root of all sin lies within your flesh. Then there is the infernal enemy, the devil. He hates all of us, saved and unsaved. Doesn't like anybody or anything. Doesn't even like himself. That's why if you ever get to the place you look in the mirror and say, I hate myself, the devil's behind that because he don't like himself. He wants you not to like yourself and like who you are. He's good at that. He tries to make you feel like that you're worthless and that God doesn't love you, that God can't use you. And that's a real enemy. The devil's an enemy to all of us. So there are enemies we face. And the Lord says you're going to need some authority to battle the enemies that come your way. I've come to the conclusion there's two words that people in our society, the American society, hate worse than any two words in all the world. Submission and authority. Don't shout me down on that now. People don't like to be in submission. They don't like to show respect to anyone that has authority over them. They don't like to show reverence to certain positions. And they just don't like submission in general. They want the blessings, they want the benefits, as long as they don't submit to the Lord in the process. They want the church to pay their power bill. They just don't want to come to church where the power's at. They want the church to feed them, but they don't want to come to church where the real food is at. They want all the blessings and all the benefits, but none of the commitment. They don't want to submit their time, their life, to the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ Himself. And this becomes a real problem, because if we do not see Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and let Him sit as the Lord of Lords in our heart, then we'll sit on the throne of our own heart. We're making the calls. We're calling the shots. Most people that want authority, the greatest, and refuse to submit, they think they have all this wisdom, and the truth of the matter is they couldn't run a one-chicken picnic. Nobody respects them. They're the only one that realizes that they have all of this and refuse to submit. And the truth of the matter is when you decrease and you submit yourself to the Lord, that's the greatest way to increase. Because as we submit to Him, He increases. And since He's in us and we're with Him, we increase also. They don't like submission and they don't like authority. You're fine until you tell them no. They don't want to be told no. They don't want any do's. They don't want any don'ts. They don't like that. They hate that. So there's some real issues over authority and submission. But the Lord states that there's some authority that man has, that the authority the Lord gives to man, it was gloriously given. You go back to Genesis and you read the Genesis account. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Psalm 8 and verses 6 through 8, "Thou madest him, man, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." Man, by God, was given dominion. Authority. Do you agree with that? I believe that he had the authority and the dominion to control the beast in the field, knew about the fish in the sea, the fowl in the air. He had dominion over it all. But he lost it when he sinned. He lost it. About like the little boy sitting on the steps one day and he was crying, the school steps, and the teacher came by and said, "What are you crying for, son?" His mom had given him his birth certificate to take to school on the first day of school, and he lost it. He was trying to tell the teacher what he was crying about. Finally looked up, and he got his composure enough, he said, "I lost my reason for being born." Sometimes we forget that we had dominion, but when Adam sinned, we lost it. Now, you're not going to like this next statement because we hear it so much that we're in the image of God. No, we're not. Not scripturally. Adam was in the image of God. But you're in the image of Adam. That doesn't set well, does it? See, all sinners now, what he lost, we lost. In our sin, we lost the same thing that he gave away. It was gloriously given to mankind, but legally, he lost it. He gave it away. He had it, but he gave it away. Adam turned it all over to the devil in a legal deal. It's like a father that goes out and buys his child a brand new car to send him off to college. The child goes to college. They're at college 3 months. They've got a new car. The car is titled in their name. They run into a friend, and the friend tells them, "Boy, I like that car. I like to have that car." The child says, "I'll just give it to you." He signs the title. The gentleman goes, his friend gets a title in his name. The dad hears about what's happened. Is the dad pleased by it? Absolutely not. The dad is upset that he gave the car away, that he didn't understand the value, the cost of it. He gave it away. Can the dad go and get it back? No, legally it's lost. He gave it to the child. He should have kept the title in his name. God said, "I gave man, Adam, authority, dominion over all." But when Adam sinned and legally lost it, just because we're born into this earth, we think that we say we're in the image of God, and not see ourselves as sinners, will not ever realize the fact that we don't have any dominion any longer. You're born a sinner. Sinners have no dominion in spiritual things. They're cut off. Adam, here's the amazing thing. By having the authority over the beast of the field, who was it that talked to Adam and told him that he could be like God? The serpent. The serpent is a beast of the field. He had authority over the serpent. But instead, the serpent was a slick talker. And the devil, speaking as a serpent and being subtle in his words, convinced Adam, here's a step up. And he thought he was stepping up by doing it, taking a shortcut some way. But in reality, he wasn't stepping up. He was falling down. And all of the human race has fallen with him. And now Satan has that authority. world. He's the one that makes a dog bite you. Stay with me. What does he really have that? Well, Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, and the devil said unto him, Jesus, all this power I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. You'll never read where Jesus in Luke 4, going through the temptation with the devil, ever denied the fact that the devil was lying in that passage. He does have power. He is the God of this world. He has that dominion in this world. That's why there are people that it seems as though they gain a lot of authority and a lot of respect, but in reality, their authority that we sometimes look at and we marvel at because the great riches they have, the great wisdom they have, we forget that really Satan may have made a pact with them and said, I'll give you all of these things if you serve me. By the way, he'll make you that same offer. It may take a little more to buy you than others, but he'll buy you. He'll take control of your life. Let me move on. It was gloriously given, this authority, given to man. It was legally lost by man. But by the way, it was righteously regained by a man. Since the authority was lost by man, God said man had that authority, man had that right, and man gave that right away. And God said, I will not go against my own righteousness to take that back. The only one that can take it back is the man that gave it away. So the Bible says, Jesus came, born of a virgin. Now, why is that so important? Why do we harp on that? You know, there's all kinds of religions out there that says it doesn't matter, just acknowledge Jesus. But any religion that denies the virgin birth is a false religion. And the reason that I say it's a false religion is because had Jesus been merely a man, he would have been under the same bondage that you and I are under. He would have been under the image of Adam, and he would not have had the right to regain that righteously. Stay with me. The Bible says, as sinners, that we have a master. And that we are a slave to sin and a slave to the devil. If you're a sinner tonight, don't tell me you can do what you want when you want to do. No, you can't. You are still a slave to the devil. He's the one that'll control you, drive you to do things you never thought you'd do. You are a slave to sin as much as you hate it. That's why in your sin you quit habits 1,000 times and couldn't. That's why in your sin you cannot move higher because you try, but you are still a slave to the taskmaster, the devil. The son of a slave is always born a slave. And since sin came in through Adam, all of Adam's race in its purity have been born a slave to sin. That's why we all have the Adamic nature. It's in all of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus said, Father, I'm willing to go. God says you've got to become a man. How can that happen? Well, you can't go through the same channels that every other man goes through. You're going to have to be conceived by a virgin. Supernaturally, by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, son, she'll be your mother, but I'll be your father. You won't have the same label on you because you won't be a slave to sin. He knew no sin. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth. He never ever was guilty of anything wrong or anything sinful. I jotted this down. Jesus had to come as he did to become what he was. And he had to be what he was to do what he did. See, if he didn't come like he came, then he could not become the second Adam. Why was he called the second Adam? Because the first Adam was in the image of God. The second Adam was in the image of God. And he's trying to bring us back into that rightful relationship where once again we can be in the image of God. So God said, I'll send the second Adam. But when he comes, he'll be without sin. And he'll have the right to redeem it all and buy it all back. And you mean to tell me you don't believe that Jesus had all authority? Then you don't believe what the Word of God says. For he himself said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. He had power over it all. Dominion restored. How do you know that? Well, just think about it. Who else could make hog to run over the mountain? Hey, have any of you ever tried to load a hog to take him to butcher? Boy, I'd love to have looked at him growing up and said, get in a truck, boys. I could scream that until I'm blue in the face. I don't care what you do, they'll figure a way to get away from you. I remember Dad got this bright idea one time. He said, boys, we're going to build a chute for them hogs. And he said, we're going to put tin up the side of that chute. We're going to back the truck in there and said, we're going to cover it over. And if they can't see anything around them and we start them up in there, said, then they'll just follow it. We'll put a little feed out there. They'll follow it right up that chute. They'll be in that truck on the way to the butcher before we know it. We scattered the feed. The hog started up. He got about 3 steps inside of it. Thought, I'm turning to the right. Knocked 10 and all over, tunneling all over. We chased it for 5 days to try to catch that hog to get it back in the pig pen again. They got a mind of their own. I can't look at a dog and say, don't bite me. Wouldn't you like that, Brian? I can't tell the fish, go get in the net. You think you got all authority? Let's go watch you walk on the water. You lost your dominion, but let's get this clear. Jesus got it all back. Hallelujah! He took it all back. Every bit of it. Everything Adam lost, Jesus got back and more. He said, I've come as the second Adam. So that brings us to a question. Since we are saved, and he sends his disciples forth and says, I give you power over all the power of the devil. Well, preacher, don't I have that dominion? Hey, look at me right here. There is a not yet clause in Scripture, and you better take my word at this. He's given us authority, but we've got to understand the sphere of that authority. He gives us dominion, but not yet over the beast of the field. Trust me. Saved to the uttermost. Sing it with all your heart. You throw a rock in a hornet's nest, you're going to get stung. You will get stung. You trust me on that. Well, how's he saying that you've got all authority, all this power, and then you can't do that? Because he says there's some that we have and some we don't have yet. For example, Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. He's talking about Adam. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet. That's verse 8. Not yet all things put under him. Now we see not yet all things put under him. All things are put under him. It's that we don't see it put under us yet. You get to heaven, You can shake snakes and they won't bite you. But don't try it down here. Not yet. But one day. Not yet. But one day. It has to do with the sphere of our authority. Current authority. Now, I've said everything I've said. If you miss this, you'll miss it all. There will be a time when we do have authority over all the creation. That's scriptural. Read Isaiah's account of it. You know, the lamb will lay down beside of the wolf. A child will play with an asp, a snake in that day. There'll be peace. The lion will eat the straw of the field like the ox in that day. Lions don't eat straw now. They eat flesh. Isaiah prophesies a beautiful prophecy about the time when all things are put back, all of creation, but not yet. Well, what do we have authority over? We have authority over all power of the enemy. We have authority over the external foe, the internal foe, and the infernal foe. We have power over the flesh, over the world, and over the enemy. Well, how do we have power over the enemy, preacher? Well, you do have power over the enemy. You say, well, he's got more power. Yes, that's right. That's what the verse I read to begin with said. He has power. I'm not denying that he has power. But you have all authority. Your authority doesn't rest on you. It rests on the fact that if you come to the Lord, please hear what I'm saying to you. If you come to the Lord and your sins are confessed and your relationship with Christ is where it should be, and the enemy comes against you, you have every right as a child of God and total authority to look the enemy in the eye and say, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you're not allowed in my home. You're not allowed in my church. In Jesus' name, I submit myself unto God and resist the devil. But you be assured of, you'll resist him and he'll flee, but he never flees far and he never flees for long. But when he comes back, once again, you can look at him and say, I have the authority through the one that bought it all back, that owns all of heaven and all of earth, has the title deed to all of it. And in Jesus' name, I claim the authority that the Lord has given to me to say he is greater than every power of the devil and the greatest power of hell. Jesus gives us that authority. An old preacher I heard years ago preach, J.L. Soulsby, an old Nazarene preacher. I was in a camp meeting with him. And he said, do you know if us Christians ever get a hold of really understanding the authority that God's entrusted us with as we yield our life to God and submit ourselves as a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ and claim the authority? He said, do you know that if we ever grasp that? Said the devils meet every day and they say to one another, if those Christians ever realize the help that they've got from heaven, then hell had better help us. You know what he was saying? You've got more power through heaven than all the power that hell could ever muster against you. Every evil spirit that has ever fallen, every foul spirit that has ever searched through the caverns of mankind's heart and gone up and down the dusty trails of life, there is power in Jesus' name to overcome all of that when we come to Him and say the authority that I have is not based on me. It's based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. So in Jesus' name, I have kingdom authority over the devil. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Why do we pout so much? Pucker so much? Drop our lips so much? You say, well, does that mean that everybody you pray for will be healed? No, because everything that comes to mankind in sickness is not from the enemy. Can he heal that? Yes, he can. But the time will come
Not yet. But the time will come when even that authority will be there, where sickness cannot ever touch our brow again. Not yet.
But it's coming. And until we get them, we get a little taste of this authority. We get to tell the devil no. Isn't that great? Great preacher one time preached similar about telling people in Jesus' name, you can look at the devil, look at the world and say, in Jesus' name, you've got to go. You can look at Satan and say, in Jesus' name, you've got to go. Somebody called him aside after and said, well, that's the same as praying to Satan. If you're talking to him, you're praying to him. He said, no, it's not. I got to thinking about that. If I tell a cat scat, does that mean I'm praying to it? Absolutely not. What's going to make that cat scat? The authority I have. I can make that cat scat. Hear what I'm saying? I can make that cat scat. How long are you going to stand up and keep glorifying the devil for all the woes in your heartache and life and misery and sorrow and talking about your bad times and hard days? When are you going to understand greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? I don't have a sob story for you tonight. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he can do anything. Anything. He's going to try to come against us. I've preached it to you for months. Some of you aren't listening. He's going to try to come against us. Yeah, see, he knows the world can't get in here. We tell the world, scat. Scat. When the world comes with their ideas wanting our church to be like every other worldly church, help me preach now. We just say, scat. Well, he knows that won't work. He says, well, I'll attack them with the flesh. Lo and behold, we come and we pray and people are miraculously healed by the power of God. And he hates that. That's a church that believes God can heal people. He's telling shit. Well, what's he going to do? The devil's going to try to get you to turn on one another. He's going to try to tell you the grass is greener somewhere else. You're loved more. You're needed more somewhere else. Getting a little lonely up here now. And pretty soon he'll come along and say, you're the only one standing. You're the only one that cares. Brian and I today had the privilege, a dear friend of ours, after we went up with Christian. And we headed out 3:30 or 4 this morning, and we got up to Columbus and stayed there with the family. And they came out with the good news, and we rejoiced. And after that, we persecuted the nursing staff. I'm sorry, I have fun everywhere I go. And we laughed and carried on. You know, God's people can do that in the face of troubles and trials. One little old lady there at the car, Kelly's laughing. When she started off, she said, hey, what church do they go to? I want to go there sometime. Of course, that was after we stole every cookie she had on the cart. And I was wanting to make an announcement. They wouldn't let me make it. And I wanted to give me one of them microphones and tell them cookie ladies are here, but they wouldn't let me do any of that. And I thought, bless God, candy's not here, and I'm hungry. I'm going to eat cookies. And I did. Feeling good tonight too, aren't you? Nothing like a sugar high, is there? And after we left, and of course, me and Brian, every time we leave, we got to eat. And I was on the phone, so he didn't ask me where I wanted to eat, and I didn't tell him. We didn't make any plans. So he just pulled into Cracker Barrel. If you don't like Cracker Barrel, we're praying for you. I personally think it'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but I don't know about that. That's not Bible. That's just my opinion. And so we pulled in the Cracker Barrel and we ate and we came back out and they had some items on sale there and some Buckeye items. Can you imagine Brian Bear wanting to buy Buckeye items? So he was cashing in on the sale and I said, hey, buddy, take your time. There was a busload of elderly people that got off the bus. And I thought, I'm just going to go out there and watch them and laugh. And because they were having such a good time, you know. They were having a good time, weren't they? So I went out there and sat down on the chair, and I'm kidding with them, and we're cutting up. And all of a sudden, the guy sits down beside of me. I don't even pay attention to who he is. He lays his hand on my hand. I say, what are you doing here, buddy? And I look over, and here's a dear friend I haven't seen in ages. I said, well, what in the world are you doing here? He said, well, I know what I'm doing here, and I'm going to tell you what you're doing here. He said, last night, he said, I've really been through it. And he said, man, I have never been so discouraged in the ministry in all my life. And he said, God, I just wish you'd give me a sign. He said, I come in. He said, what's the chances of me meeting you at a Cracker Barrel in Columbus, Ohio, on a Wednesday of all days, meeting you and Brian here in this city? He poured his heart out to us. And he said, you know, sometimes I just feel like nobody cares. Bless his heart, I know how he feels. And I looked at him and I said, well, we care. He said, I know that, preacher. And he told me all the problem. He said, what would you do? I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And I said, your problem's not with people, son. As much as you'd like to think that, and I thought that before myself, but that's not where your problem's at. Your problem's not with people. And your problem is not in a lot of areas that you think. I said, the problem's with the devil. If you think he's going to let you keep building a church for the glory of God and just stand back and do nothing, you're wrong, sir. I said, so what I'd do is I'd just stand four square. Take the authority that the Lord's given to you. Hallelujah. And I'd tell the devil to take his grabby fingers off my church. That's the church God has entrusted to you and your leaders. And you tell the devil that church was bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. You tell the devil he's not allowed there. And every single service to the top of my lungs, I'd stand and say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. You're not welcome in this service. And I said, I'd go to church every week, and I'd praise the Lord, and I'd preach my way out of it. That's exactly what I'd do. I'd preach heaven so sweet. And I said, I love God so much that the devil gets sick to his stomach and have to leave. That's what can happen in churches. When the love of God fills a place, like he filled this place on Sunday morning, the devil can't stand that. He'll even let me preach if you don't pay attention. He'll let the singer sing if you don't listen. But when you all go to loving one another and loving the Lord, the devil can't stand that. And the power of God is manifest as the Spirit of the living God moves from heart to heart. And before long, you just have to say, devil, we're sorry. There's no vacancy for you around here. You're not welcome around here anymore. Thank God. What authority we have in Jesus' name. How long are you going to let him keep beating up on you? How long are you going to tell yourself, yeah, he done it for everybody else, but he won't do it for me? I want to tell you something. You can say anything you want to say, but if you look outside those doors, at what God is allowing us, helping us to build for His glory. And if you look at this church full on a Wednesday night, that is not because of your dynamic ability, and that is not because you're such a wonderful person or I'm such a great preacher. That's not why it's happening. It's happening because somebody still believes that we can tell the devil to scat. We can tell the devil to get out. And while I'm at it, a lot of things you might wonder, is it the will of God? But you rest assured of this. It's the will of the Father that none should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So it's time for you to get to the place with your lost loved ones and tell the devil, get your hands off of them. Leave them alone. In Jesus' name, let the Word of God touch their heart. Let them have open ears to the gospel. Let the Lord send the right people to them at the right time and show them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let the Lord be glorified through their life, that they can be saved. Kingdom authority. Now, maybe you won't be a part of a dead church. You won't be a part of a dead church, get rid of me. I preach enough funerals, I don't want to do it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I watch too many folks go down the road where they try to do it without the authority and the power of God, and it don't work. The best programs in the world will fail without us understanding our kingdom authority. Just who do your children belong to? Big question, isn't it? I mean, just who does your bank account belong to? Just who does your business belong to? Just who does your job belong to? I'm going to say this. I'm in overtime. I didn't mean to preach this long, but it feels so good I can't get out. I'm in over my head. See, I used to run on that philosophy like a lot of folks. And there's a lot of folks in this church that feel this same way. Well, we got blessed Sunday morning. Let's see how long we can make it with that blessing. We don't need another good service for a good 6 months. So everybody feels like, well, I don't have to pray about what I sing now. I don't have to pray about what I preach now. We had a good service. How dare you? As the day of the wicked one is approaching and the world is getting worse and this is the only shelter in the time of storm for people, listen, folks, I'm not looking for a one-time golly washer. I'm looking for it to rain from heaven every single time we come through the doors. I'm looking for the glory of God to come. I'm looking for the Lord to overthrow the enemy. I'm looking for people to understand the spiritual authority they have in Jesus Christ, not in me and not in Rubyville Church. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say, scat to the devil. You're not welcome here. Prayer requests are good. But if we give a prayer request with a broken heart and don't believe God can do anything about it, we've wasted our time. Scat. Oh, would you just enjoy me? Allow me to enjoy it for just a minute. The end of a long, hard day. It feels good to sit and bask in the breeze of glory. I didn't say it. He said, I give you power. He gives us power. He's the one that does it. It's all for His glory. You say, I don't need that now. You remember that when your kids get hooked on drugs, will you? See, the devil don't want you to pay attention to this service because the Lord's trying to give us some help here tonight. You remember that when you lose your job and don't know where to go. Go ahead and just throw this sermon out. Or else you can choose to say, I'm a child of the King. I'm serving the one that wasn't born a slave. He wasn't a slave to sin. He conquered sin. He bought it all back. And now He says, you can be partaker of all of it. He didn't have to do that, folks. But bless His name, He did.